Running down dogma with his karma. This is the Drew Marshall Show.
Folks, we're back. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to the Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca, and we're live here in Southern Ontario on Joy 1250. Tim, I can't remember the last time I did a part two on anything.
You've had guests back, but never sort of a...
Well, I've done a follow-up with someone who's had a health issue.
Yeah, I mean, right? No, but I mean, you, what I'm saying is, like, you've had Candace on a couple times, that kind of thing.
Celebrities.
And then there was that one, the one lady who was that cult, got her arm cut off.
Yes.
But that was because we ran out of time. This is the same thing, yeah. I think.
Well, anyway, the Hell of Grenville Part 2 is what you're about to listen to, folks. W5 is a Canadian news magazine television series produced by CTV News. It's the longest-running current affairs news magazine program in North America and the third longest-running Canadian television show. What would be the longest? Tommy Hunter? I don't know.
The Simpsons.
Yeah. Canadian.
Oh.
W5 recently featured an expose of alleged abuses that took place at Grenville Christian College. As soon as I use the word alleged, I can hear people thinking, what are you talking about? That bugs me because you've said alleged. Well, as someone who wasn't there, that's kind of where I have to land. This W5 segment was called In the Name of God. Grenville, which is now closed, was one of Canada's premier boarding schools. One that I almost went to. My parents sent me to Pickering College instead. A couple of weeks ago on our show, two former students talked about their experiences, Heather Backen and Andrew J. Hale Byrne. Did I say that right again, Heather? I can never get the names right. I'm so horrible at this. Andrew wrote about his experiences in his book called Grenville. Since that show aired on April 9th, we've been contacted by some other students. And today what I've decided to do is speak with four former Grenville students. Some have similar stories of abuse, and others claim that their time at Grenville Christian College, you know, were some of the best years of their lives. So we have two gentlemen who went to Grenville who are on the phone with us right now, Bruce and Jason. Bruce, can you hear us okay?
Yeah, it's actually great.
Hi, Bruce. And Jason, you're there as well?
Yep, I'm here.
Great. When was the last time you two spoke to each other?
Oh, we've been friends since after Grenville days, so we talk frequently. Bryce stops in my place in Toronto, and days overnight, that sort of thing. So we've remained friends, yep.
All right, so Bruce and Jason represent a part of the Grenville community who would say, well, hold on a second. Everyone that has these stories of abuse, we didn't really see that or we don't get that. And then also in the studio with us here again, who she was part of the last time we talked about this, is Heather Backen. Heather is back in. See what I did there? Thank you very much. Back in the studio. And on the phone is her friend, Deborah. Hello, Deborah.
Hi, how are you today? Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Wait a second. Guys, Jason, Bruce, why didn't you say thank you for having me on the show like Deborah did?
We're very self-centered.
Okay.
And Ryan, we need to change, Grenville.
Okay. All right. So I want to set some ground rules for this discussion just before we start. And the only reason I do that is because I want this conversation to go in a particular direction, and I don't want it to go in a particular direction. So what I would like is I would like all three of you to just talk about, as much as you can, your own experience, just your own experience. Because as a neutral outsider, I don't know if what you're saying about – well, I don't know about if what you're saying in your own story is true, because I never saw it. But I will take you at your word about your own story. I know enough about human nature to know that third-party stuff can get polluted along the way. You know, Chinese whispers in that old game. Oh, wait, can we even say that anymore?
Chinese whispers? It's a telephone game.
No, is it Asian whispers now?
I always called it the telephone game.
The telephone game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Telephone game for sure.
I know. Let's offend all people who are related to Mr. Bell.
Anyway, so So the reality of this conversation is that we have two former students from Grenville who are saying, I experienced some horrific stuff there. And we have two former students from Grenville who are saying, I don't know what you're talking about. How? I never saw that. I don't extend. It's hard for me to believe that this stuff went down.
When did Heather and Deborah attend Grenville?
Heather, when did you attend Grenville?
We were there 81, 82.
81, 82. And so both at the same time, you and Deborah?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And Jason Bruce, when were you guys there?
It's Bryce with a Y, but we were there from 83 to 88.
Right, okay. So right off the bat, we're saying, okay, we were there at different times, so there was no overlap.
Nope.
So
different headmasters, too.
Right, different headmasters.
These guys would have had Hegg, and then we Farnsworth started in 83 when we attended Grenville.
Right. So,
Drew, that's an important thing to note there, because I'm not going to profess to know what happened when Hegg was running the show.
Right.
My brother went there when Hegg was running, and we did hear some of the things from him about what had gone on there. And it's so what experience that Heather and I'm sorry, I forgot the name, was it Deborah?
Deborah, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Deborah. That experience post or pre our time, I think Father, my recollection is that Father Farnsworth took over when it was our first year.
Okay.
Hi, this is Deborah here. I'd just like to put in a little word
yes,
here.
Yes, please.
You're right. The Hags were basically what I would call the number one seat, but the Farnsworth. Charles Farnsworth was the number two seat, and he had a very dominant position in the school when both Heather and I were there. So he had a reign.
He was a GIC.
Right.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Okay, so let's start from the top and then kind of work our way down. And what I mean by the top is I want to talk to just the two boys here just for a second, Bryce and Jason, right?
Yep.
Is it hard for you to imagine the stories that you've heard from some people about what has gone on? And I don't want to bring anyone else's name into this conversation, names. I just want to know from your personal point of view, from what you saw and witnessed yourself, let's just start with Jason. Is it hard for you to imagine that these stories are true from the other people who said they experienced horrific abuse at Grenville Christian College?
Well, if we're talking about the book specifically that the author...
No, we're just talking about your point of view.
Well, yeah. My point of view is that there were the boarding students, which was Bryce and I, and then there are the staff students, and there are some day students. And I've always had a position, I believe Bryce would agree, that there's a big difference between the boarding students and the staff students and what kind of discipline they were put under. Like, we were disciplined. I mean, we were just a bunch of teenagers with raging hormones that got into trouble and mouthed off and did typical stuff. So... but also, like, Bryce and I were pains in the butts that I was on discipline every other week, basically, in all honesty. That's why I do have a hard time swallowing the types of things that people are being accused of, because I was knee-deep in it.
Right. So what I hear you saying, Jason, is that I was a bit of a jerk face back then. If anybody should have experienced some of this alleged abuse, it should have been me, and I didn't. So therefore, I have a hard time believing that others experienced it.
Well, yes. And the other point to that is that, you know, I was there 5 years. So Bryce and I both matured into leaders. I mean, we were jocks. I was captain of the basketball team. He was the captain of the track team. Like, we were used as positions of power by the staff because they wanted leaders to kind of help out with the students. So, like, this... The typical abuse that the boarding students are talking about, like, we know all the leaders and we looked after each other, and,
right.
And there was almost like a code red situation that we disciplined ourselves, you know, and looked after our own. So, you know, there's a number of incidents that people are alleging happened.
Yeah,
Bryce and I went to school with these guys, and it didn't happen. Like, it's full out the telephone game 30 years later.
Okay. So, Bryce, let me ask you, did you watch the W5 expose?
Yes, I did.
There was a former staff member who said in the expose that she agrees that abuses took place. Do you believe her?
It depends on the type. I mean, she was referring to sexual abuses. I really don't know about those, so I can't lend any validity to that. Nothing that I was aware of. I know with one, the headmaster's son, there was an incident there. But I don't know whether that actually transpired or not, because to put it in perspective, the gentleman on the accusing end of it wasn't exactly an angel, and he got himself into a lot of trouble. And I think it might have been just something to point some fingers to take some pressure off him.
Okay.
But I don't know that for sure. I mean, you know, you got to be a fly on the wall to know those things exactly.
And I'm going to go to the ladies here in just a second. But, Jason, before I do, I want to ask you. These ladies are about to share some of the stuff that happened to them. Not hearsay,
yep.
But what happened to them.
Yep.
Is it possible? It's hard for me to imagine that you're going to hear what they're going to say, and then you're going to say, I don't believe it.
Well, no, that would not be my position. I mean, I've put a target on my own chest by defending the school, because it just ticked me off that it's being thrown into the mud and stomped on, because, you know, I'd send my kids there tomorrow. Like, I would. I've always said that. So, no, I have no problem with someone's perspective.
Okay.
And also the girls would have had different experiences, for sure.
Right. So it took me back when you said I would send my own children there, when I know the stories the ladies are about to share. So they're going to share their stories about what happened to them. And I've got no reason to disbelieve them. I didn't see it, but I've got no reason to disbelieve them. I mean, why, you know, I don't understand why you'd ramble on about this stuff for these two ladies anyway. They've got no real agenda here from what I can see. And so if their abuse stories are true, then I want to come to you at the end of their time and say, Jason, would you still send your child there? Okay, so I just want to put a little pause, a little bookmark in the conversation right there, okay?
Yep.
All right, Deborah, thank you for waiting on the line here. Deborah, you're out in B.C., and your time at Grenville was not a great time. True story?
True story, and I'm glad everybody mentioned about the kids, because I actually have two kids. I have a 25-year-old and a 20-year-old, and that is my baseline in terms of how I reflect upon Grenville and what I would want for my own child, at, you know, in a particular point of time, sending them to an educational institution.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So can you, just for the sake of brevity and broadcasting succinctness and other kind of fancy words that I don't understand, can you just please summarize what happened to you?
Okay, well, I think the context is this. You need to understand kind of where I fit into the group of kids who were at the school. You know, there were four groups of kids that went to the school. I mean, private school was a way of life for these kids, and they came from great families, but this is what they did. These families sent their kids to private schools. There were the second group. Those kids were preparing for university. There was the third group. There were a group of kids that had discipline issues like Tommy Hunter. And then there were the kids of staff that I say were there. They drank the Kool-Aid. They learned to navigate themselves through this oppressive system. They conformed and they were silent and they really believed. Now, my dad was a diplomat. He was in Washington, D.C. I got the opportunity to finish my grade 12 in Canada. The government was paying for it, so both my brother and I were sent to the school. I did have my first interview with Julia Case, the former VP. She said, this is an Anglican doctrine. All religions and all people are welcome. There was never a mention of any affiliation to the community of Jesus. They were highly trained teachers. There was a great academic curriculum. I was going to ride horses and bake cookies. So the very first week, Drew, just to get very succinct and then answer your questions right now, the very first week when I was in the school, I did a little funny little situation with Heather, which she described in the last show about doing up my buttons and acting British and saying that I was in a private school. I was pulled out of the group of students and pulled on the stage with both the Hags and the Farnsworth was Al, Mary, Charles, and Betty. Now, you have to remember, I'm a 17-year-old girl, and I'm thinking about my daughter. And would I like my daughter put into a situation like this? And I was told in a very stern voice that I was a horse that was led astray, and I had to be led back into the pasture of Christianity. Those words are forever imprinted on my mind. I was also asked, I didn't know these people. This is my first week there. I was asked by the ladies if I'd had sex. I was taken back. For the record, I did not have intercourse at that time, but they wanted to know if I'd had sexual intercourse. They also pointed out that girls, they really shouldn't adorn themselves with jewels or dangly earrings. And I remember very vividly, Mary Haig had a nice little dangly earrings on, and she was twirling them. And she said, you know, when women dress like this, and you need to wear your slip here, and you cannot undo your buttons, you know, women lure men, and they're sluts. And again, you've got to remember my age.
Sure.
So because I did this little fun skit with Heather, and I was shocked. I didn't understand the degree of, you know, that religion played a part in the school. I was told that there was church, but I wasn't told that I was going to be going twice a day, you know, 6 out of the 7 days. For that situation, I was pulled out of school, 3 days out of my uniform. Okay, I was doing work jobs all day long. I could not go to class. I was woken up at 5:30 a.m. in the morning. I scrubbed the floors with a toothbrush. I did all the toilets. I took the little salt and pepper shakers off. I had to clean the tops and put them back on. I was told to go into the fridge and clean the fridge out. And after that period of time, I had to write in a letter of apology for my sins.
Right.
So that it didn't stop there. So after the 3 days of discipline, I was allowed back into the classroom, but I was kept in isolation for 4 to 5 weeks. I had to get up. I had to do work jobs still at 5:30 in the morning. As soon as classes ended for the next 4 to 5 weeks, I had to continue doing the duties, and I was separated from the group. Now, they also have these prefect guards, which I think Jason mentioned, and these guards are, I called them guards because these people were in positions of authority, and they were given special privileges, and they were the overseers. They were the good.
They would have been the student leaders, right?
Yeah. Well, they're yeah. student leaders because they were Christian, okay? And
Heather, I've got to tell you something. That's absolutely false because.
Hold on, guys. Deborah, first of all, it's Deborah that's talking right now, and then secondly, let's just let Deborah just go a little bit. You guys make some notes because you'll want to come back to it. We've got to have some. Unfortunately, if we're sitting around having a pint, we could interject a little more frequently. But because we have time constraint on the radio, we'll just kind of have a little bit of decorum here.
Got it.
Deborah,
I will give you the floor. Thank you, Drew. So in my experience, these prefect guards, I'm not saying that these were, they were jocks and they were leaders in the school, but they also were bestowed certain kind of authority positions. And I was assigned a prefect. I was not allowed to interact. I was separated from the student body, but I had a prefect follow me around, and they would follow me around while I would do these work duties. I would go to the bathroom and they would stand outside the bathroom. So, I mean, things like that happened. And the other thing that I remember, too, is that somebody did something in the school, and the entire school was put on a 2-day silence. So nobody could talk to each other for 2 days. So you'd get up in the morning, and you could not speak to one another. You would go to breakfast, you could not speak. The only time that there was any speaking was when you would attend classes. And, you know, there was a discussion while the academics were being taught. All the magazines, the pictures, the Sears catalogs, the bra and underwear were cut out. All my mail was gone through. So, I mean, and when I describe this to people, I go, well, you know, it sounds so absurd. And this wasn't just an occurrence that happened on one day. This was an entire year that this type of behavior went on.
Okay, so let me just pause there, Deborah. Again, I'm just unfortunately I keep looking at the clock, and we're burning through time here. So I just want to come back to Heather right now, and because Heather's sitting beside me, we have the benefit of reading body language here. As I'm listening to Deborah's story, I'm trying to put myself in an objective listener's seat, and the Grenville story, the hell of Grenville, it has become this story because of the word abuse attached to it. And as I listen to Deborah's story, what I'm listening for, unfortunately, in this day of sensationalistic journalism. I'm listening for sexual abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse, spiritual abuse. In Deborah's story, I heard spiritual abuse, but I'm also very sensitive to that because of my background in this show and this station, and that's the stuff that really obviously the other ones are obvious. Those are horrific as well. But I do listen for spiritual abuse where most people would go, whatever. No, I think that's crap. I mean, I think it's true, but what I'm saying is I think it was horrible. But can you hear the objective listener hearing Deborah's story and going, well, you know, it was strict, it was spiritual abuse, it was, but she wasn't sexually abused, she wasn't physically abused. You know what I mean? That kind of listener mindset, and what's wrong with that mindset? I'm reading your face right now, and I'm kind of going, oh, maybe I shouldn't have asked it that way. So because you have your story as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm also kind of listening to it, trying to a little bit through Jason and Bryce's ears, and I'm not even sure what my question is right now. So let me just go, and guys, thanks for your patience being on the phone. We'll get to you soon.
Yeah.
So, Heather, because you've had the benefit of being on the show before, mm-hmm. help me understand my reaction to this.
Sure.
Please.
Well, I mean, excuse me. Sorry. The only context I had going to the school, Drew, were the boarding schools and the private schools that I was familiar with that my family and my friends had gone to. So Brentwood, Shawnigan Lake, Queen Margaret, Bishop Strong, which is where I was going to go and I chose Grenville. I regret it. It was also an Anglican school.
Oh, it was the horse on the brochure that got you.
Yeah, it was the horses.
That you never saw.
Right. It was false advertising. Upper Canada College, Crescent, Branksome Hall. I had friends at all of these schools and Ridley. And I had expectations of the academic standards and basically how your day was structured. And I think what Grenville managed to do was they tried to catch you off your game. Do you want me to just tell you briefly in a nutshell
please,
my story?
Please, yes, please.
Okay, so Deborah and I met. We were at the same dining room table. There was a bit of kismet, and we had this funny little stint. She was hauled up. I was hauled out of bed in the middle of the night by Julia Case. I'd never been hauled out of bed in the middle of the night in my life. That's something that happens when there's a fire or there's a death in the family.
It's disturbing, no question.
Yeah.
It's disturbing.
Right. So grabs my arm, pulls me out. I'm in my pajamas, tells me, and I say, what are we doing? Where are we going? And she says, don't talk until you're spoken to. So we're walking down this corridor, and it's pitch black. It's in the country. I can't see anything. I have my hands out in front of me. I don't know where I'm going. And I said, I don't know what we're doing or where we're going, but I don't feel comfortable being outside of my bedroom in a strange place in my pajamas. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a reasonable request. Mm-hmm. She says, don't speak until you're spoken to. And we keep going, and I've literally got my hands out like a blind person. I don't know if I'm assuming, I tried to follow her closely because I'm assuming she knows the way. She's not going to walk into a wall, but I could have been 2 inches from a wall. Anyway, at a certain point, it seemed like forever, she stopped. She said, stop, turn around, follow me. So I go back. We go back to my room. You know, I'm at 17, just turned 17, fairly shy young lady. Unlike the other two gentlemen, I did not mouth off. I was not rude. I was, very polite, and I followed rules. So she says, get into your uniform. Why is there laughter?
No, because I think
because
they're going.
Saying that we're mouthpieces. I'm just chuckling. Sorry.
No, I think.
That got me to chuckle as well. So
I think let me just intercede. Maybe the chuckling, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, would be that's how you described yourself earlier, and so you're agreeing with the fact that you were cheeky boys.
Absolutely.
Okay. So my point is, you know, if you mouth off at a school and you get told to do work jobs, that's completely reasonable. They're trying to get you to behave properly and become, you know, models of society.
Right.
When you're just an innocent person who's not familiar with the surroundings, doesn't know the people, you know, had expectations for a good education, and ends up having to strip down in front of a lady who's breathing down her neck, you know,
exactly.
It was disturbing to start with. Then I'm hauled down again. Now I'm sent back back to the monastery. I don't know what time it is because my clock radio was confiscated because they said radios play rock music and that's a sign of the devil. By the way, all my jeans were taken too. It's absurd. Yeah. So lack of communication, trying to break down your foundation and controlling everything that you do that you're exposed to. So I'm sitting down in my uniform on a chair and she said, wait here, Miss Case, and she left. And I was there for God knows how long. And then these four people stagger in. Al Haig and his wife, Mary, and the two Farnsworths, who were the two, Charles was the two IC. And they're staggering and they're walking like a bunch of drunken adults, giggling and not even walking a straight line. They continue on into a room. So I don't even know what's going on. I stood up when they came in, by the way, because I'm polite.
Oh, good for you.
And, you know, so I'm sitting there and then I get a call in, enter. So I go in, and basically, I won't tell you all the details, but they tried to frame me for stealing something from someone. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my gosh, these people are trying to set me up. And if I've stolen something, that's actually a crime. They can call the police. So I said, you know, they accused me of stealing a watch. So the little British chumpy thing that Deborah and I had was with this prefect named Katie Keenan, who just came up and started behaving completely outrageously, rude, abrasive, told us to under our buttons. And, you know, and she said, do you know who I am? Like, you know, like the student prefect of some BL and Endel. And by the way, there was no leadership there. You know, her parents were benefactors of the school. So anyway, so they accused me of stealing a gold watch from Katie Keenan's room. And I said, not only did I not steal the watch, and I've never stolen anything in my life, I don't know where her room is. And they said, why should we believe you? Liars are thieves, and thieves are liars. So it was a circular argument. Yeah, and I'm thinking at this point, these people are kind of ridiculous. So I said, well, if you don't believe me, why don't you let God be the judge? You know, I was very spiritual then, and I'd read the Bible on my own. So I said, if you bring a Bible in, I will swear in the Bible and let God be the judge. Well, that got them at their game. So they came back. Anyway, the first thing they said when I walked in is they said, you cannot talk to or look at Deborah Shield. So after this little episode, I said, so I just want to be clear, I'm not allowed to talk to or look at someone? Like, this is weird mind control games to me. So Mary Hags leans forward and she says, how did you know you weren't allowed to talk to or look at Deborah Shields? And I said, well, I came in, and you leaned back and put your arm up, and you looked at me, and you said I couldn't talk to her or look at her. And she said, oh, then I must have. And then Al Haig leans forward. He's sitting across from me, and he punches his hand onto the table, and he says, how did you know? Mary, I didn't hear you say that. Charles, Father Farnsworth, did you hear Mary say that? I didn't hear Mary say that. Did you hear her say it, Betty? I didn't hear a thing, and this is the hottest little bitch I've ever met in my life. So I'm sitting there going, like, these people are bizarre. He said, how did you know you couldn't talk to and look at Deborah Shields? And I said, I guess I must be crazy. And he said, you're not crazy. You're very sane. And I said, well, then maybe I'm psychic. I'm thinking, what do you say to these people? I'm 17, and they're just so bizarre. So anyway, when I said I was psychic, I was expecting them to say, like, stop mouthing off, go to your room or something. Instead, the headmaster of the school pounds his fist on the table again and gets the Bible and says, yes, you are psychic, and you will not be allowed to use your psychic abilities on the property. Hmm. What do you say to that?
Wow.
This is cuckoo land.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we should have asked Mickey, who was on earlier in the show, who is a psychic.
Mickey would not have done well at school.
No, she would not have done well at the school. No, that's right. That's right. Okay. So let me go back to the gentleman now. And we've heard a little bit of a summation from both ladies of some of their experiences. Let me just sort of, I don't know, dive into this with you first, Bryce. What did you hear? How would you summarize it? And how do you feel?
Well, if I could just kind of back up a little bit there, because one of the fundamental things about Grenville was that there was a rules and there were standards. Were some of the rules absolutely bizarre? You bet. You betcha. Absolutely. You know, we were billed as one big happy family. The problem is you weren't just allowed to talk to most of your sisters on a lot of occasion because you didn't want to get too close to them. There was no jeans. There was no rock music. There was no... Yeah, you know, there was all these rules that were set in place. And were they, some of them were bizarre? Absolutely. And some of them that people just, you know, didn't want to follow, they tended to get in a little more trouble. I wasn't exactly a follower of the rules, and I got in a significant amount of trouble. The one thing with the ladies, and I understand
because my ex-wife was actually a student there at the same time. And I have heard some of the stuff that's gone on in the with the girls. And it was a different element from what the guys experienced. And so I can't speak wholeheartedly to that. I mean, it's been many, many years since we actually discussed that stuff anyways, and I don't really remember it all. But I know there was, I mean, she had her challenges there as well.
Okay.
And had a lot of difficulty.
But is there anything about what the ladies have said, Bryce, that you find hard to believe?
No.
I'll go back to one thing. That because when we spoke the other day on the phone, you asked me to listen to the last show that
yes.
you had.
Yeah.
And one of the things that Heather had indicated is that the medical staff was in cahoots with
a religious agenda.
Yeah, a religious agenda, and she mentioned Dr. Stewart specifically, and. My reaction when I heard that was, wow. I honestly could not believe that somebody could say something like that about Dr. Stewart, which kind of, unfortunately, and I mean this with all due respect, it kind of, when I hear something like that, I mean, Drew, if you met this man, you would not have ever met a finer gentleman. In your life,
I have a friend who was on the tactical unit in Metro here who was handcuffed to Paul Bernardo, and he said the same thing.
Which
about Paul Bernardo? So just because somebody presents doesn't mean necessarily that there's something.
To compare Dr. Stewart to Paul Bernardo.
No, that's not what I'm doing. What I'm saying is that. Just because someone presents well doesn't mean. Look, I'm a firm believer in this. Anybody given the right set of circumstances is able to do anything.
Agreed.
Sure.
So your experience with this gentleman was a very positive one. And
oh my goodness, I would
they treated men and women differently at the school. It's very misogynistic.
Hold on, I let you speak. I was asked to keep quiet.
Yep.
So I mean, I'd ask.
Go
you
ahead. Go ahead, Bryce.
You know, the man was, there was nobody that was a more dignified individual that I think, I mean, I'm shocked to hear that somebody did not admire the man.
Okay.
I honestly am.
Okay.
And that kind of makes me a little skeptical on the rest of it.
Right.
I'm not saying that those things didn't happen. I'm not saying that what the abuses that are alleged happened didn't happen. My perspective is that there's different elements of the student body. You had the staff students, you had the community kids, and you had the boarding kids. What I've heard of a lot of what's happened in terms of the, the book that's been written and whatnot, those instances, what the staff kids and the community kids were subjected to, whole different ball game that
off the chart.
Okay.
For students. Were held to.
Okay.
And that's a fact. I mean, staff students would disagree. Do they have a legitimate beef? You betcha. Do I think that some of the boarding students have taken their experiences and embraced them as their own? Yes, I do. Do I believe that, I had a confrontation with one of them many, many years ago. And it's basically, if you don't agree that those things happen, and I'm not saying they didn't happen, and I'm not saying to Deborah, Heather, with all due respect, I'm not saying those things didn't happen to you. I totally respect that if that's your experience, then, you know, who am I to say no, it didn't?
Right.
But, you know, just from my 5 years there, you know, I never.
We had the same things happen to us.
Session.
Okay, Jason. Let's go to Jason just for a second. Jason,
dragged out of bed, and hauled out of bed, and all these different terminologies that happened to me. But in the context, I mean, that's kind of,
what did you do to deserve that?
Mediaizing.
You break the rules. Like you do. Like okay.
What did you do to have that?
Okay,
done?
But Heather or Deborah, and I can't remember who. I'm trying to take notes here.
That's okay.
When you're saying that we Bryce and I both admit. There were pains in the asses. Well, that's just like we were just typical teenagers, and you guys were reeling at the fact of being.
You were a bigger pain, Jake. No.
Yeah, I was. And to be clear, Bryce and I weren't really good buddies while we were at school. We were closer friends afterwards. We were kind of adversaries a bit because I was such a pain in the ass. I used to drive him insane.
So, Jason, when someone says they were abused at Grenville,
yeah,
your immediate reaction is eye roll or belief?
Well, okay, but all I ever ask for is a little bit more. Like when I'm listening to you know, the being pulled out of bed and being accused of stealing something. And then I wanted to howl because I'm sure that Al Haig and whatever her name, I think they all probably were drunk. We used to hear stories about them going home and partying, you know, while we were all in bed. So they probably were drunk if they got dragged in. But that's their business and nobody else's. But it was a bizarre place. But, you know, when we talk about the reference to the prefects who looked after us, I mean, they were student leaders, and I never once felt scrutinized or judged or whatever. They used to shake their head at me and go, "What the hell did you do now?" Mm-hmm. As they're babysitting me, eating dinner with me in the dry food room, they're like, "Dude, like, what the hell's wrong with you? Why do you get in trouble all the time so much?" And I don't know.
I never even got invited to the tables of the teachers because I wasn't a prefect and I was shunned by many students because
But you're only there for 1 year, right?
Yeah, but 1 year, 1 year. In grade 12 is a very significant year in terms of development.
I'm not discounting that.
And so what I'm saying is that I was shunned by many students, okay, because I held steadfast in my disbelief of that system of religion that I just felt was filled with hypocrisy, but I was very polite.
Absolutely.
And I became silent, okay? But,
sure.
You know, sure. But that's a psychological abuse is very an open-ended concept. You know, it comes from
absolutely.
An imbalance of power. It comes from
sure.
dominant and controlling behaviors. It's very difficult to pinpoint.
Can I ask you a question? Now you made a reference to religion, like that you were very religious then. Are you saying that the 1 year at Grenville turned you off religion because the way they treated religion, or?
Okay, so I did not say that I was religious then. I was raised a Catholic.
No, that was Heather that said that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I
okay,
I
but,
read
okay
the
so then that's for Heather then.
But hold on. I think what I hear in the context of that question is, girls, really, you were there 1 year. And and I think what the girls may feel, if I could speak on their behalf, is, okay, but just because we were there 1 year doesn't water down our experience. It doesn't negate
yeah.
our hell, I guess, in some way. So let me ask. I want to go to Deborah just for a second. Deborah,
yeah.
Because you've had experience in law enforcement in your life.
Yes.
Do you think that the things that happened to you and Heather, only the things that have happened to you and Heather, nobody else, just you and Heather, do you think the things that happened to you and Heather deserve legal action?
I think from a civil standpoint, you know, you're asking me from a civil standpoint, I know that there is a case action lawsuit, and I think that physical and sexual and psychological abuse are all different kind of entities within and of themselves. And I think more the psychological might come out in this civil case that's going forward. But I want to take a point right now. I came on the show for a reason. And I do have I am a former RCMP officer. And when I watched the W5 documentary, and as you said previously, the W5 documentary, I mean, that's a renowned Canadian show. They do their homework, okay?
Oh.
And, well, they do their homework. And
they
interview a lot of people.
They didn't even return my phone calls to have
okay.
a...
Hold on.
Go ahead, Deborah.
Just let me speak. Okay?
Yep.
So
yep.
I watched
yep.
the W5 documentary with an open mind. And then I also, you know, read the Toronto Star article that outlined very harrowing stories of abuse. And, you know, this isn't just Heather and I. This concept about light sessions, this concept about being stripped from your uniform, you know, this disrespect for women, et cetera, seems to bear out across the spectrum. But when I watched the W5 documentary and I saw Joan Childs, who was in a position of authority, stating in public media under no coercion that there was sexual abuse, okay, quotation marks, sexual abuse, and no one was held to account, that was like a stop for me.
Okay, but hold on.
Let me finish.
Hold on. Yep. Just a second.
Okay,
Jason.
And then secondly, there's, you know, a former student, Dan, speaking out about being urinated on by a staff member and him saying, you know, like, you missed the spot and being punched in the groin. I thought, you know what, this is 2016. These people are going on public TV. This, to me, is, these are new public testimonies. And I happen to know that there was a previous investigation, a file on this. But I helped in the penmanship of a letter to the Commissioner Hawks at the Ontario Provincial Police. And I've had conversations with an inspector, with Detective Sergeant Fritch, okay. Frank Mitchell, and yep. the lead investigator on this case. And, you know, there is an agreement that if there is new evidence, and Joan Child, she needs to step up to the plate and she needs to qualify this, because if we've got child abusers who were at that school at that time and they're still out on the street currently, that needs to be addressed.
Okay.
And so there,
sure.
Yeah.
Jason, go ahead.
Okay. So and I'm even and the Joan Child thing. I mean, she was a henchwoman. You know, she nailed me so many times for crazy stuff. She told me that she could never be alone in a room with me because I had mind control. I could manipulate women to do whatever I wanted. Like, I heard it all. Father Farnsworth looked at me and told me that he was a priest of God and I was a priest of Satan.
But and yes, I was but Jason, yeah. she was in a position of authority. You know,
absolutely. Sure.
When she's saying there's sexual abuse, and
yeah,
no
okay,
one
but wait now my okay now, no, but she did not say that, because in that W5 episode, they are referencing a student that it was ticked off for having his pants knit pulled down and given the strap.
She did not specify. You don't know what she was referring to.
I think you need to rewind.
So hold on. The greatest thing that drives Canadian nuts is overtalk on a radio show. So I would just want to kind of come back to a summarizing question for all of us. So we have four people again, folks. First of all, you're listening to the Drew Marshall Show, not the Jerry Springer Show. We're live here on Joy 1250 in Southern Ontario, and we're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We are just about to finish up our part two of the Hell of Grenville segment that we've been talking about. We did it a couple of weeks ago, and we're doing this again right now. We have two former students here, Deborah and Heather, who have they've had some pretty horrible experiences while attending this school, and Jason and Bryce are on the phone as well, and their experiences were different. And you know, the hard thing in disseminating the information is knowing what is the way forward, because if you say get over it, or stuff that sounds like get over it, then that's really not a cool thing to say to somebody who's processing this stuff still. And you might be a different person. You might be wired in a different way, and maybe you did get over something. But we're not all wired the same. So somebody else is having a tough time processing it, and there's absolutely no reason to look down on that person whatsoever, nor to discount what they said about their experience. But what I want to know out of this whole thing is, what is the way forward? And is the way forward a legal thing? Does the school, the insurance company, all that stuff, does there need to be some kind of a lawsuit, civil or otherwise? And Bryce, I just want to go to you just real quick on this. Do you think, because there is one, there is a suit underway.
Yeah, $200 million.
Yep. Do you think it should be dropped because it's ridiculous? Just a yes or no with a quick response.
Well, that's really hard to say yes or no to. If it was the staff kids and the community kids, no, it shouldn't be dropped. My problem with this whole thing that's going on is that, and I'm not saying Heather and Deborah, their experience did not occur. I'm saying that I am very, very skeptical of some of the boarding students who are participating in the suit. They're taking away. If they weren't involved, I'd have no problem with the suit going forward. And do I think the community and the staff kids have a beef? Absolutely. Do I think something should be done to rectify that situation, to form a restitution? Absolutely. But with the non or with the boarding students, the ones that I'm aware of and their experiences, I have a very hard time. I think that they're taking away from what those, the community staff kids are, should receive.
Right. Okay. And Jason, okay, just to you real quick, because we've actually gone over time 10, 15 minutes here. This is a little insane from my scheduling point of view. So do you think the suit should be dropped?
I have the exact same opinion as Bryce, but the one point I want to make is if I were to point fingers at anybody at this point in my life, if GCC, my time at Grenville, affected me this badly, it would not be at the staff and the students. It would be the lack of attention by my parents. My mother, I went to that school because my godfather's father played football with Al Heck. That's as much homework as my mother did. So if you're going to yell at someone and be mad, go yell at your parents for sending you. They're not doing their homework.
But if there were people in authority who abused any of the students, whether it be spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, sexually, which I think some people have said, then you can't say it's the parents' fault.
No, for sure. But they didn't do their homework. I mean, they didn't.
No, but I'm talking about, should the suit go forward? Do you think something illegal happened at the school in terms of the responsibility of the authority?
No.
So you don't think?
No, I went through the, Heather and Deborah are describing things that I went through over the 5 years.
Right.
And you're saying that maybe I'm wired differently. No, I maybe I am, maybe I'm not.
Okay.
But I don't look at what they did. I figured out how to shut my trap, how to play the game, mm-hmm, and how to get through.
But if there was somebody sexually or physically abused at that school, you're saying shouldn't.
Absolutely. If they were sexually abused, and I've said that right from the get-go, I cannot speak to that because I would never allow it to happen.
I'm saying if a child was sexually abused at the school, should there be consequences?
Absolutely.
Physically abused, should there be consequences?
It just depends on what it is. I mean, you know, Dan Ortolani had the finger poke in the chest. I swore in my life that he'd never do that to me. Was that abuse back then? Maybe.
Right.
But, I mean, it was always the kids that were lipping off. Did some kids get the strap? I mean, I have twin friends who they gave the strap to the wrong twin.
Right.
I'm not Todd. I'm Jeff. I'm not Todd. And they slapped the wrong twin. Is that abuse? They laugh about it today.
Okay.
The game has changed. And we're a bunch of lily white. Oh, my God, it's 2016. This is so horrible back then. They were beating the crap out of kids in the 70s.
All right. And to Deborah, your response, please.
Okay, absolutely. I mean, corporal punishment was defined differently back when we went to school. But personally, I hope the bastards sink. Okay, you're asking what my personal opinion is from my time at the school. Objectively speaking, you know, there is the civil lawsuit. And this criminal case, which will primarily deal with sexual and physical abuse, has now been reopened by the Ontario Provincial Police. And of course it has to be reopened. So anybody out there in listener land or who's gone to the school and was either a victim or a witness can phone Detective Mike Malkins. The detachment number is
Jason?
613.
Jason.
Yes.
Really?
925-4221.
Say it again, please.
The detachment number is, the name is Detective Mike Malkins, and the detachment number is 613-925-4221. And I hope that they bring Joan Childs in, and I hope they interview her, and I hope they make her explain her comment on public TV. And I hope people like Dan, who were urinated on, if in fact they were, basically receive some justice.
Okay, and Heather, please.
I think absolutely the case should go forward. The gentlemen on the show have not, this is only the tip of the iceberg. I just told them my first week of school. Mm-hmm. There was a lot more, and there was physical abuse that was criminal at the time and is still criminal today. But I think for the most part, for me, it was a loss of faith that you put your faith in these people, and it was all reputational. My parents had no way of knowing the intricacies of it, what was going on inside the school. Mm-hmm. And if I hear words like kids were beating up, or get the shit beaten out of them, or staff kids have the biggest beef, would I want to send my son to a school that they selectively target people? No, of course I wouldn't. So my personal thing, I think the most impact it's had on me is that I lost my faith, and I wonder where I'd be today if I was able to turn to that. So what I did, Deborah wrote to the commissioner. I wrote to the Archbishop of Toronto and for the Anglican Diocese of Toronto, and I've asked for an apology. And I think, you know, it's incumbent upon the leaders of faith to actually just acknowledge this for a lot of people so they have closure. I'm not talking about compensation. I'm not talking about money. But just acknowledge that when you put an Anglican collar on a man like Farnsworth, who maybe had a high school education, who was not intellectual, he shouldn't have been, and nobody does that and runs a school. He wasn't capable of doing that, and he hurt a lot of children suffered as a result. So I would say I would like to have an apology, and if anybody else is in a similar situation, please write to the Archbishop. And I would also like to commend, I'm not forgiving what was done, but I'd like to commend Joan Childs for being brave enough after she was shunned to try to speak truth. Mm-hmm. And it's not as though she's speaking truth to power because a lot of the players are dead, but she's trying to make it right. And I applaud her for that. And I would hope that other people would come forward.
Okay, let me just close with this to all of you. First of all,
can we do number three?
Yeah, no. I can't believe I'm doing number two.
This was on me.
I know. But here, let me just say this to all of you. First of all, we've gone way over time on this, but it was deserving. How do I say this? Moving forward is different for different people. Depending how you're wired and what your background is and what kind of foundation you have underneath your soul, it is very different for different people. Some people are going to have an absolute litigational freak out over the tiniest things, and some people are going to go, whatever, and move along and you know. And there's this whole range of stuff in between. For all of you, seriously, I just wish that there would be restoration somehow for each of you individually. And, you know, it's not possible. I don't think it's possible for everybody involved in this situation to hold hands and sing Kumbaya and move forward. It's not going to happen. But I would like to see this in the rearview mirror for each person individually in a healthy way, not in a just forget about it kind of way, in a processed, healthy, healing kind of a way. Right? That's what I wish for everybody. And you're right, guys. There's so much more to talk about, but we're not doing it now. Okay.
You got to do number three, Dave.
No. Hey, listen, gentlemen, thank you. Jason, Bryce, did you win your hockey game this morning?
Yeah, we won. Yeah, I'm really sore because four hockey games in 24 hours.
Oh, poor baby. Jason, thank you for your time. Deborah, I really appreciate your time as well. You brought some good insight into this conversation, and I very much respect that. Thank you, Deborah.
Okay, have a good afternoon.
Bye, folks.
Bye,
thank
ladies.
You. Bye-bye. All right, and Heather, again, thank you for coming back into the studio. It's nice to have somebody here with me on all of this. So
my pleasure. I just came for the butter tarts.
I know.
They're really good.
Higher Ground Cafe in Bell Fountain. That's where you get them.
And the song I'm playing, how weird is that?
I know, Higher Ground.